You turn this on, right? I don't have to do anything. You'll turn it on and off all night. It's Coast to Coast AM and live from the Premier Radio Network's headquarters in Sherman Oaks, California. This is Ian Punnett. And thank you, Miguel, for being such a kind host and for having an actual person in the room. You're probably as unaccustomed to having somebody sitting here doing Coast to Coast in front of you as I am having somebody else be across from me while I'm doing Coast to Coast, but we'll get through it. In fact, it should be a great night, great show. I just so much love the guests coming up next hour. Maria Coffey, her website is about hidden places. She does adventure travel, right, where she takes people on these very unique adventures. We'll tell you more about that, but also about her book. And about the experiences that she has been able to both chronicle on her own and what other people have experienced that they've been willing to share with her when athletes have gone into the zone, when they've reached a point of where they were experiencing something in the extreme. And we'll talk about that with her coming up next hour. She has an update since she was last on. She's got lots of different books. Maria Coffey has written about all sorts of different types of places where you can go in the world and things that you can see. But it's her book, Exploring the Infinite. It's called Explorers of the Infinite, that we'll get to coming up next hour on Coast to Coast. And she has heard from people who have read her book, who have then added new stories, which she will share with us an update coming up next hour on Coast to Coast. We'll do open lines this hour. And let me just say, you know, out here for the talk radio seminar, it's really neat to see many of my colleagues in the business, although not as many as I would have liked. Hard times everywhere. And the talk radio seminar is showing it is sparsely populated, despite all the best efforts by Radio and Records to put on a really great event. And it was, you know, it was hard. It's hard to see where that is. And I know that there are lots of talk radio stations around the country that are hurting. And as there, you know, are in so many other industries out there, people who are suffering as a result of all the cutbacks. So for all of you that are still carrying Coast to Coast AM and those that are going to be adding it, I say thank you for that kind support. For those people who have been put out of a job because of cutbacks on weekends, which, you know, give us even more opportunity here on syndicated shows, you have my sympathies. And I'm sorry that's happened to you. And I just hope that things will recover well enough. And if you've been put out temporarily by tough circumstances, that you'll find the right thing and you'll be back in broadcasting. And we'll see you back here again for a future talk radio seminar. I will say, as I got into my car, and I got a convertible when I came out here, I used an upgrade I've got from, I don't know, like AAA or something, and got a convertible, popped the top as I'm getting into the car in front of the hotel this evening, and I'm wearing shorts and a polo shirt, and the guy in at the front desk said, "What are you doing putting the top down?" He said, "It's freezing out here." He said, "If I were driving along with you, I'd be turning blue." And I'm like, "Hey, you're not from Minnesota, okay? You're not from the upper Midwest. This is how we roll. 55 degrees on a beautiful evening in California, and you think I'm going to have the top up? Are you nuts?" And it is beautiful outside, and I can't wait to get out there and enjoy a little bit more before I head back. And I can't wait, too, to get to crypto news. We'll get to a couple of updates from last week, plus some news stories. The new search engine, which will attempt to put Google out of business. They're calling it an electronic brain. More on that on the way, plus some amazing stories on the coasttocoastam.com website, one of which is completely untrue. And I can verify that for you next as we do crypto news on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. Well, we will get to open lines on Coast to Coast AM here in just a few minutes. And I will apologize in advance for not having an updated blog. It doesn't appear anyway at this point that I'll have a chance to update the blog. And I had some really cool things I was going to throw on there. I'll have to do it after I get off the air. But for whatever reason, inside the studio, I can't get wireless access and there's no Ethernet for me to plug into with my laptop, which is what I stuck everything in. So I have not yet figured out a way to update my blog yet, but I'll work on that and I'll get some highly worthy stories and an interesting poem that somebody sent in on the blog later on this evening on coasttocoastam.com, where there's some terrific news stories we'll get to in just a moment. First, last Sunday night, because I did Saturday and Sunday last week, I was doing a show about ancient alchemy with Joseph Farrell. And we were also talking about the movie Watchmen a little bit, but I was remiss in pointing out that there was a little connection, sort of putting two and two together. There is a series of Kabuki comics from my friend David Mack that have been collected under the name The Alchemy that's right there on the best-selling graphic novel charts next to Watchmen. So very cool, just as graphic as a graphic novel can get without being too graphic, if you know what I mean. I'm not sure I do either. Anywho, if you're looking to read another great graphic novel other than Watchmen, later on I'll try and get the list up on my blog, but go take a look at Kabuki, The Alchemy, and it's out and on the best-selling list on the New York Times. Also, somebody sent in a poem that it sounded sort of inspired by Coast to Coast, so I'll put that up on my blog coming up later on. News-wise, an update on a story that George was talking about the other night with Richard C. Hoagland. NASA is unsure what caused the hydrogen gas leak that prevented Space Shuttle Discovery from flying, but nonetheless will attempt a launch on Sunday. Also, speaking of space, if you missed last Saturday's show, you ought to take a listen to Dr. Neil Tyson talking about Pluto. Take a look on that going back in time. Also looking forward, ET policy with George Knapp. That's coming up Sunday night. And next Friday, I'll be doing open lines. Always fun to search the world on Coast to Coast, which brings me to this new search engine story from fizorg.com. A new search engine described as an electronic brain could make searching the internet more intelligent. Called Wolfram Alpha, the search engine computes its own answers rather than looking them up in a large database. Now, think about that. It computes its own answers to your questions rather than just giving you a series of links. Google, many other search engines currently just do the large database search for places where you can go find that information. This will collate it for you in a cohesive response. With its computational abilities, Wolfram Alpha could lead to new types of questions, answers, and computations that today's search engines just can't handle. Which seems like a lot of effort and a lot of big thinking just for 20 million people to search websites that will satisfy their corduroy fetish or whatever it is that they're looking up. And I did look up corduroy fetish, and so far nobody has one. Of course, there might be one by the time the show is over, as no one's thought about that before. Not saying it wouldn't be nice to have some answers from a giant electronic brain. There's some answers that a rancher is looking for in Colorado, a coasttocoastam.com story linked up here. The guy found a mutilated cow by the Purgatoire River in a story that was broadcast by WBBH-TV. It says the mutilated cow was discovered near the town of Weston, about 20 miles west of Trinidad. First reaction, she's been mutilated, said rancher Mike Duran. Duran's cow was found dead with her udders and reproductive organs missing. No tracks at all, said Duran. No blood, no predators. The classic cow mutilation scenario. The cow was last seen alive on Friday. 2 days later, Duran says he found her mutilated by the river. Duran has a theory about what happened. Duran says he thinks aliens abducted the cow, carved it up, and then dropped it back by the river. Doesn't have proof yet, but claims to have seen some strange sights in the Colorado skies above his ranch, like a round circle in the air, said Duran. I've watched them, and then they just disappear, he said. Duran has about 40 cattle on his ranch, and believe it or not, he says this isn't the first time something like this has happened to him. He says another cow was mutilated on the same field back in 1995. Quote, it's just a shock that it happened again, said Duran. Hey, since it happened to this farmer twice, doesn't it make sense to call this guy Mike Duran Duran? I think the answer is no. I think it doesn't make any sense, and you don't need a big search engine to know that. It might if you could read my mind, though. In fact, if you could read my mind right now, what would it say? What am I saying? Think right now, if you could read my mind, little experiment. It says, call open lines. We're going to be going to open lines in just a minute. If you didn't get that, then maybe you can use a machine. Scientists are working on the ability to read someone's mind with a thought machine. And scientists believe they've come a step closer after scientists showed that they could guess a person's memory simply by looking at the electrical activity of their brain. Scientists have found that spatial memories can be read by a brain scanner so that it's possible to predict automatically where someone imagines themselves to be, for example, in the exact location in a maze. So if they're looking at a maze and said, imagine where you are, the scientists can follow the electronic impulses and predict where that person says they are. Quote, it's also a small step toward the idea of mind reading because just by looking at neutral activity, we are able to say what someone is thinking, said the lead researcher at the University of College London. This according to The Independent. So let me get this straight. Science, by and large, doesn't believe that human beings can read each other's minds, but machines can. I guess academic science believes that nobody can do it until they can do it. Or, and this would be really cool on Coast to Coast, I'd like to put their machine up against one of America's best psychics right on this show. Let's just do the maze experiment, right? You know, shave my head, put a bunch of electrodes on, let me look at the maze, and we'll see whether the machine can predict it just as accurately as a psychic can where I'm looking or where I am imagining I am, better phrased. It'd be an interesting competition. I mean, lots of cool academic scientists are out there doing neat work, and they're willing to come on Coast to Coast. This wouldn't be anything new on that. We don't often get the head-to-head sort of horse versus car competitions, but it would be a neat one. We've had Dr. Jeff Meldrum on the show for years. Of course, he's the well-known professor who believes in the existence of Bigfoot. I wonder if he's on this story that we have on the website at coasttocoastam.com. The paranormal researcher in northwestern British Columbia claimed on Wednesday he has photographic evidence that Sasquatch does in fact exist. Brian Vike said he has a photo of a very large footprint along with samples of hair and blood. The Houston-based UFO researcher said he believed he received a phone call last Sunday from a town outside of Prince George. This according to the Prince George Citizen. I made the 90-minute drive up there, and I was amazed at what I saw, Vike said. I've been on some of those turkey runs when there's nothing to see, but there were footprints 17 and a half inches in length that went on for a long ways. Vike said the snow around the footprints was untouched. There were no tracks around to show that somebody at all was trying to pull a gag, he said. Well, except maybe the person who was wearing the footprint shoes, but I don't know. I'm going with Vike. Vike, who tracks UFO sightings, said he was even more excited when he found blood in one of the footprints. He's sending it off for testing in Saskatchewan. They also have a hair sample, a footprint 17 and a half inches long, though. And there's a photo of that at coasttocoastam.com. If that's a turkey run, that's a big turkey. And apparently a big bleeding turkey on top of that. Further proof that sometimes mainstream science gets it right, and sometimes it's downright paranormal, too. Boys with ring fingers longer than index fingers can run faster, a new study says. Finger length ratios have been related to a host of things, good and bad, from fertility and disease vulnerability to test scores and personality traits. Now, this is interesting because I think this is an example of when science can get it wrong. If you look at the digits, if you look at the digits on both hands, you can read characteristics into people, say researchers. That's because of testosterone exposure in the womb. It's behind speedy kids and their finger length ratios. Scientists studied 241 boys aged 10 to 17 at a talent spotting competition. Those with longer ring fingers were faster at every stage of a 50-meter sprint race. Quote, I just want to make the point here, says Punnett, my ring finger is significantly longer than my index finger. So my index finger is probably one whole fingernail longer than my index finger. I am not what you would describe as speedy, nor have I ever been. Sorry, I'll get back to the story. Kids with longer ring fingers are likely to have higher SAT math scores, higher than verbal or literacy scores. Okay, again, not me. I have a longer ring finger on both hands than I have an index finger, and that's definitely not true with me. My verbal was way higher than my math on SAT. And here's one sentence that has never been uttered about me ever. Oh, look, there goes Ian, running off to do math again. Never happened once. Won't happen tonight. Let's get back to the phones. Let's do some open lines before the bottom of the hour. Let's start with a wild card where John is in New York and hanging on the longest on Coast to Coast AM. John?
Hello, Ian. How are you tonight?
I couldn't be better. Where are you going to take us?
I just want to talk to you. I talked to you a couple of months ago. I didn't get a chance to retort on this subject, but you told me a while back that the King James Version of the Bible is the least accurate, the least accurate. Why do you say that? I'd just like to know the basis of that.
Because the scholarship at the time it was translated is not anywhere as good as it is now. So on vocabulary, for example, the translators of the King James Version had to kind of guess at the meaning of some of the words. They had to take educated guesses. They were guesses made with good intentions. But if you talk to modern biblical scholars, they'll tell you that the more research they've done, the more texts they have that come from that period, the greater the accuracy is in the choice of the words. For example, a Hebrew word that might have nine meanings, it might be used nine different ways. Well, you know, at the time that the King James Version was translated, they might know two of them really well. And they might not have realized that one of the other ones actually had a lot, was actually the most common of the translations. So that's one.
Man, I'm sorry to cut you off. What is the most accurate Bible of all, up to date now?
And that's a different kind of debate. There are many different very good translations of the Bible. So I'm partial to the Harper Collins Bible that's out. I like that. I like some versions of the RSV. There's other ones out there. There are plenty. The Catholic Bible, the new Catholic Bible that's out, is excellent. So, I mean, I think anytime you look at a modern translation, I think you're getting a much more accurate version. On top of the King James problem, of course, is they're translating words that they thought that they knew. They were pretty sure they had right, but they were translating them into Elizabethan English. So not only that, but somebody, modern person today, is reading them, and they're having to kind of translate it twice because a lot of the language, a lot of the vocabulary from that period is not what we would use to make that transition. So I hope that helps. Is that interesting?
Well, I guess it's in your heart and your own personal relationship with God. It's the only thing that's going to get us going.
I wouldn't sum it up that way. I would sum it up this way, that if you want to do serious scholarship on the Bible, get a serious Bible. If you want to read words that are beautifully phrased, stick with the King James. There's no better version for me of the 23rd Psalms than the King James Version. I hate reading, versions of the Lord's Prayer when it's been translated into quote-unquote modern English. I'll take Elizabethan English in a lot of rituals. But if I were to do serious scholarship, to me, that's where I stand with that. And thank you, John. Let's go. We have time, I think, for Sam in Rochester, New York, birthplace of my father, on Coast to Coast AM. Sam?
Good morning, Ian. How are you, sir?
Good. We got just about a minute for you.
Real quick, I want to know what your thoughts were about with the digital TV that's coming out very soon. I'm foreseeing that, that people are going to be televising a lot of stuff on cable. I mean, not on cable, but on computer, excuse me.
And that wouldn't surprise me at all. I mean, so what do you think will be what's the most out there prediction that you would imagine at this point?
I think computers are going to overtake TVs because I think that they'll start putting like all different types of programs on a computer. Because look how many people are spending time on the line right now.
Well, I think TV is tracking that. Broadcast television is tracking exactly that. And they're seeing people will be watching television on their shirts in about 5 years. And yeah, there'll be computerized shirts that will rebroadcast TV shows from Hulu.com. I'm with you 100%. All right, let's get back to open lines. Where are you going to take us? Half hour worth of an open palette for you before we get to our guest, Maria Coffey, and we explore the infinite next hour on Coast to Coast AM. I am supporting the arts, playing a bumper from Judith Owen. Love her work. And also, too, I meant to mention, I had this great poem a guy sent in, but I can't link it up to my blog yet because I don't get internet access here where I am in the studios of Coast to Coast, believe it or not, at least not wireless. So I had all that loaded into my laptop, but I'll get back to that later on tonight. It might be fun looking at when you wake up tomorrow morning. Coast to Coast AM, George Norrie at that great conference earlier today, but not the same one where I was. And I haven't heard the update. I hope he and Tom had fun. They were sure looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the rest of open lines here for the rest of this hour. Where are you going to take us? We'll find out next. And then where is Maria Coffey going to take us? She has been receiving updates from extreme athletes, from explorers, people who push the boundaries of their bodies, their souls, as they go around the world. Just what is possible when a human being enters the zone? What do extreme adventurers find on the other side of what the body can handle? Explorers of the infinite. We'll get an update coming up next hour on the interview we did last year, and we'll find out what she has learned since and go over some of the great stories that we talked about last year, too, on Coast to Coast AM. First, your open line calls. Next, this is Ian Punnett. Let's get right back to open line so we can get everybody on before the top of the hour. We'll start west of the Rockies where Chris is in Littleton, Colorado on Coast to Coast. Chris?
Yeah, hey, Ian. How are you tonight?
Good. Where are you going to take us?
Nice, nice. This is Chris calling from Littleton, 630K out. I had kind of a question in this story. First question was, are you the permanent host of the Saturday night? Because I haven't listened for a while, and I've noticed you've been on, like, every Saturday.
I think I am, but you never know radio.
Yeah, no, you know? That's true. Yeah, definitely.
Until you show up and you find out you're not, I think I am. So.
Okay, this has creeped me out for years. I had a girlfriend of mine about 10 years ago, and I was actually in high school when I was 17. And I was going to spend the summer out in Oregon with an aunt of mine. And as I was at the airport, my girlfriend was just sobbing. Like, she's like, I feel like I'm never, ever going to see you again and all this. And I'm like, you know, you're going to see me. You know, it's no big deal. So as I'm in Oregon over the summer, I get a call about a month later that she was, like, in a tragic car crash and passed away. And, of course, like, I'm, like, distraught. Like, wow, oh, my gosh, you know, never realized, like, you know, she's like, I'm never going to see you again. So. That same night, like I had a dream sort of, and she was in it, and she goes like, well, this was about actually like 3 nights later, I should say. And, she goes, you know, I'm with God now and all this and in heaven, don't worry. Like I'll look over you and blah, blah. And I could like distinctly remember in this dream that, like there was some sort of like, she sounded like she had some sort of like cancer of the throat or something.
Oh, no.
That, like, made it like her throat was kind of muffled, and it was just, there was something in her throat, and I just remember that, like what the heck. So about 10 years later, like, I remember talking to the investigator, because her dad actually worked with the police department, and I remember calling him one day, because it just, like, it was about, I don't know, 8 or 9 years later, and I, you know, that whole throat thing just kind of mystified me for years. So, like, I talked to this investigator that had investigated the crash, and this investigator let me see the autopsy. It was so many years later, and it turned out that the essentially the cause of death was impalement of the throat.
Oh, no.
It creeped me out for years.
Oh, no. That is weird.
I know. So that was kind
that
of
was
my...
in the car accident. That's how she died. Oh, that's really.
Yeah.
See, now, and I'll tell you, I had a conversation like this with somebody else over the weekend, a guy named Steve from Lake Havasu, Arizona. And he said that the only paranormal experience he ever had was when his father had died. His father had been staying with him, living in the house down the hallway, and he was sleeping. And he woke up with the distinct feeling that his father was floating over him, and he thought, oh my God, my dad's dead. And he went down the hallway and his dad was dead. And it's interesting how you know, that had that can happen sometimes in our sleep. And he knew it, when he got out of bed, he knew he would go down the hallway and find his right. father had passed on. He just knew it.
Yeah. Yeah. With your like, well, I know you're sort of like, well, are you like Episcopalian?
Yeah, I am Episcopalian. Yes.
So like, as far as the belief system goes with the Episcopalian belief, what is there sort of like, because I know, like, I guess I'm like pretty Catholic, but essentially like how, like what's the sort of belief as far as like connecting with the dead? Cause I always thought it was as if like the resurrection, you always had to like wait for so many years before you could. Like touch sure. base with the death.
Yeah, there is no definitive orthodoxy on that
right.
within most Christian denominations. In fact, most Christians are probably uncomfortable with a lot of discussions about
right.
about ghosts.
Yeah.
I'm not, because I don't think we can define it. I think the Bible, for example, is multivocal on the
right.
subject about ghosts and that sort of thing. So I don't define things, but I'm much more of a moderate to liberal Christian. The conservative Episcopalians, or Episcopalians,
right.
as we call them, they may have a stronger opinion on that than I do. But
all right, we'll do. Okay. I'll let you get on the moral.
Thank you.
Lines.
I appreciate that.
Call.
Thank you. Interesting. Thank you, Chris. Let's go to Dustin in Indy on Coast to Coast AM, first time caller line. Dustin.
Yes. Hi, Ian. It's great to talk to you.
And you.
Yeah, I've been listening for about a year and a half and big fan, and I listen religiously.
glad to have you. Where are you going to take us?
Well, unfortunately, I got another bummer story for you here.
Okay.
I'm just driving back to Indianapolis from a funeral.
Sorry to hear that.
Unfortunately, yeah. Unfortunately, my cousin is 25 years old, and he killed himself the other day.
Yeah.
And, you know,
yep.
not going into any detail or anything like that, but as a, you know, as a member of the clergy, I thought I'd get your opinion on that, because people talk in the funeral home and stuff, and everybody's got their own opinion on
what's
it.
What's your opinion? What do you mean by that? What's the opinion you seek, other than how tragic that is whenever that happens?
Yeah, well, I went through and was reading the Bible and stuff, and I've read it through and through, but, you know, there are several cases of suicide in the Bible, and including technically Samson. You know, he killed himself and took thousands of enemies with him, but you know, I personally don't think that's gonna, you know, condemn you, you know, to hellfire and brimstone and all that. But
I don't spend a lot of time worrying about the destination of most, the immortal souls of most people in general, because I think I have plenty of evidence from the Bible that says I got enough to worry about on my own plate.
Right.
So, but in terms of, I mean, I think it's sad. I lost somebody too to suicide a month or so ago, and it's always sad. It always feels like a sinful loss. Like, you know, that person, you knew what they could do and you knew the great gifts that they had. But at the same time, you also feel like, I'm so glad they're now at peace. And that if life was a torment for them, that hopefully, you know, we can all experience the sort of the grace of forgiveness, and that we can all someday be at peace with whatever demons are speaking to us in our waking hours. You know what I mean? And so I don't know that that's anything for you, but I hope it is. And I, for those people out there who speak very stridently about, you know, that anybody commits suicide is doomed to hell, sometimes I think that's when people are saying more about themselves than they are about the victim. And those people, I'm the ones who I'm most worried about. Those are the people often who speak so strongly about it. I wonder whether they've had those thoughts, and that's the one thing that's keeping them from doing it. In which case, I guess sometimes whatever gets you through the night. Let's go to George in Missouri on Coast to Coast. George?
Hi, Ian.
Hi.
I just wanted to call and make a comment about a guest you had on a while back. And I'm not sure if you remember him. It was an actor that played, pretended to be Jesus Christ.
Oh, I remember having Jesus on, sure.
Oh, not the guy who calls in and rants all the time. I mean,
right.
It was...
No, I'm not JC. No, yeah. In fact, I've often wanted to have Jesus back, a return, if you will. So one of these nights we will.
Oh, okay. Well, it was an enjoyable show, except for one thing, and I wanted to get your take on it. I remember a caller asking, you know, Jesus, if there were other, you know, beings out there like us on other planets in the universe? And his answer was no. And his reason was because if there were, then he would have to go to each one of those and, you know, do what he did on Earth for us, you know, right, through their life. And I just thought that's been bothering me for a long time.
Why?
I thought, how lazy, you know, that Jesus.
Lazy Jesus.
I got to go to this one and that one.
Well, I'm with you. I don't know. We'll have him back again sometime and we'll pick at that question and we'll see whether we can get a more specific or an even better answer, George. I think I won't disagree. I think, you know, hey, come on. Do the heavy lifting here, you know? Don't be so Earth-centric. Maybe there's more to work in the universe than that. Or maybe you already did. Let's go Werner in New Brunswick on Coast to Coast on a wild line on Coast to Coast. Werner?
Good evening, Ian.
Good evening.
I just got up there for a moment. It's here past 2 o'clock in the morning. And I just happened to hear you talking about that there was another mutilated cow being found in Colorado.
Yeah, and well, actually, I believe this was British Columbia. Oh, no, Colorado, right. Yes,
Colorado.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, Weston, near Weston.
Right.
Listen, I have been dealing with lots of cow mutilations and killing of my livestock now for over 30 years.
How many have you lost?
Alone the last 13 years, over 260 head of cattle have been killed.
Wow.
And many more mutilated. And, Ian, I wished that people would stop looking for UFOs, because what I've seen here on several times over the last year, during the night, within a quarter of a mile, silent helicopters.
I'm listening.
And the cow, when I found that by the beginning of May last year, I was coming out at 8 o'clock in the morning, and the cow were resting in the side hill overnight. It's just only about 200 yards away from the house. I checked them the night before. They were fine. Short before dark, I checked them. And the next morning, I found this cow there, laying there. Her eyeball was bobbed out, laying on top, you know. 11-inch horn was fully rammed into the heavy clay ground. One hind hoof was partly torn off and massive bleeding out of the rectum.
Well, hang on. Now, tell me what, I mean, that's not consistent with every cow mutilation, which often has, it's bloodless around the corpse. But let's just put that aside for the moment. You tell me about the black helicopters. You're saying that silent...
Black helicopters. I didn't see the color of the helicopters. The only thing I saw about the helicopters was I saw the downturned searchlight.
Okay, so you saw a light, and your assumption is that it's a helicopter.
No, it was a downturned searchlight. The first time I saw it, it was roughly about maybe a few thousand feet right above my yacht.
I'm just trying to understand, why do you say it's a helicopter?
It was a typical downturned searchlight. It turned down in an angle roughly about 45 degrees.
So you have the searchlight. I understand. You see the searchlight, but you haven't seen a helicopter or you didn't hear a helicopter.
It was dark. And the next time it was at roughly about 1 o'clock at night. And just only a quarter of a mile here over the ridge. And I just saw the helicopter lights, the light coming out for a flick of a second between two tall pine trees, and then disappeared
sure.
again.
Have you ever talked to Linda Moulton Howe?
Years back.
Years back?
But I have lots of documentation about the injuries and everything, and the animal could have sustained those injuries only when she would have hit the ground from quite an altitude.
So you think they're being picked up and then dropped?
And what I figure there, an accident happened. Instead of putting the cable or whatever, the loop, putting it around the ankle, they put it around the hoof, and it slipped and tore the hoof partly off.
Do you think they're stealing cattle?
Maybe they wanted to cut the udder off. I don't know.
Why would they want to cut the udder off?
Well, what I hear about most of the other, a lot of the other cattle mutilations, where they took reproductive parts and
right.
the udders off.
But why do you think they would want to do that?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, interesting.
You
well,
know?
That's very... Werner, I appreciate you sharing that. That's very interesting.
But, Ian, I have enough evidence collected that rules UFOs out, and this is, has been used here by the RCMP to not do anything about it.
Why would they? Why would evidence that rules out UFOs? Why would that keep the RCMP from doing anything about it? Wouldn't that make them more likely to do something about it?
Listen, I have been checking around about silent helicopters, and I was being told by a former pilot, military pilot, that the American military have helicopters where they can cancel out the sound.
Right, right, right. I understand that, but I don't understand. That doesn't answer the question. What would the RCMP's motive be? If you can say, I can prove to you it's not a UFO, why would they say, well, then we won't investigate?
Because they have been doing a cover-up now for at least 35 years about the cattle mutilations. And when now they would come and have to become clean, it would create a big scandal.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll have to...
a vested interest to keep it in the realm of UFOs.
All right. Well, I see what you're saying, that they're trying to keep it so that everybody thinks it's a UFO thing and therefore, you know, sort of invalidate the story. All right. Well, we'll leave it there. I'm not sure I agree with all those conclusions, but I certainly think you've got some very compelling testimony and evidence. And I hope you would stay in touch with Linda Moulton Howe. I think she would be open to the idea that it wasn't UFOs if she can find out what else it is. I get in touch with her again. I keep a camera ready. If you can see those lights, then they can get picked up. If you can get them on video, then get them to us. Let's go to Annie on the wildcard line, Huntsville, Alabama, on Coast to Coast AM in the time that we have left. Annie? Did I screw something up? Hey, Annie, let's try that again. Annie on wildcard 5 on Coast to Coast. Go ahead, Annie. Hi. Annie? Is there something wrong? I must have done something wrong. Let's go to Jerry, International Line, Sydney, Australia, on Coast to Coast. Jerry?
Sweet. What's up, man?
Where are you going to take us?
All right. First of all, that girl that answered the phone, the screener, she's not like your daughter or anything, is she?
No, she's not like my daughter, no.
Good. She sounds like a cutie pie. Man.
She's smoking hot.
She sounds like it.
Yeah, and I would never be able to say that if that were my daughter, so.
All right, well, I'm glad. I didn't want to offend you if she was. You know?
No, but she is my wife. I just want you to know that.
Oh, no, you're the man.
No, I'm kidding. She's not my
wife. You're the man.
I'm just kidding.
All right, listen, check this out. Something I haven't heard anybody talk about, and I don't know if...
Well, you got 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Where is the federal government... What role did the federal government play in received tax dollars based on income generated with the Bernie Madoff investment?
Well, you know, there's an interesting piece last night on George was talking about with Linda Moulton Howe on that, on what the government's interest is in really getting down to the bottom of that. That'll have to wait.
Didn't the federal government receive income taxes? I mean, if I'm an honest person making investments with Bernie Madoff, and he makes me $400,000 this year, aren't, as an honest person, am I going to pay taxes on that?
If you're an honest person and Bernie Madoff in the same sentence?
No. If I'm using Bernie Madoff and I'm under, and he's fooled me and making me money every year.
I see.
Year.
Don't you get a rebate, you mean, for the taxes that you paid on the income that you didn't actually make?
Yeah, well, I mean, the federal government profited on this. And
yep. No, I'm with you. It's very complicated. I'm with you 100%. No, I think these are really excellent points. I can't sort that out, but I think this is something which is another reason for why last night on Coast to Coast, Catherine Austin Fitz said the government wants to sweep this under the rug as fast as possible.
Exactly.
They want to close the file on this. No rebate checks. No explanation of where the money went. Let's just pretend it never happened.
Exactly,
yeah,
right.
I think you're right. I think you're onto something. Well, that'll have to be it for open lines, but that'll give you a little preview. We'll have open lines more coming up on Friday night when I'm filling in for George. We'll explore the infinite next with Maria Coffey on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett.